Put your money where your mouth is. I'm Joseph. This is Input English. Today we have a discussion. In a recent video, we talked about willpower, and the context of that discussion was the book by Baumeister and Tierney entitled Willpower. That book reviews the psychology of willpower and how it can be weakened and how it can be strengthened. In today's discussion, I want to talk about some of the practical things that I have learned over the years to get things done without depending upon willpower. This discussion is not intended to be prescriptive. If you're familiar with this channel, you should know that I don't tell other people what to do. It's just that when we are creating comprehensible input, we have choices to make. We can talk about people or objects. We can talk about events, or we can talk about ideas. And I think in order to have good content for people to learn a language like English, the content should encompass all of those things. One of the things I noticed when I was trying to learn German years ago is that the limited amount of content available to me at that time really mostly talked about people and events. There wasn't much discussion about ideas that I could access. And so my German language acquisition at that time was very limited. I'm trying to fix that by making content that covers things like people, events, but also ideas. Historically, talking about ideas for comprehensible input has been a challenge because ideas tend to be abstract and don't correspond to objects that you can hold up, like a glass of water or an apple. Nonetheless, there are people who have already developed a considerable vocabulary in English who need content that is richer than just beginner material talking about glasses of water and apples. That's where we stand with this. I started this episode out with a quote, with a phrase, "Put your money where your mouth is." That's a common casual expression that was popularized by movies and television series. It's colorful in the sense that it's a metaphor that is a challenge. If someone makes a claim, expresses an opinion, they might be challenged by the phrase, "Put your money where your mouth is." In other words, let's take some action on this. It may be a challenge to place a bet, to make a wager. Now, if you research that phrase online, you won't necessarily find a specific original use of the term. Instead, it goes back to the 19th and 20th century. It was certainly published in the 1930s. Its usage probably goes back further. It has been attributed to sports-based betting or wagering, specifically boxing and horse racing. Boxing and horse racing frequently were associated with betting, which was frequently illegal. But if somebody expresses an opinion about a particular horse or a particular fighter, they may be challenged. Put your money where your mouth is. Place a bet. In the 21st century, it is more commonly used, not in wagering, but as a challenge to take action. So if I talk about willpower and habits, and then I tell myself, put your money where your mouth is, that challenge to myself is to take action, to do what I say, not just say it, to have my behavior correspond to what I've said. There's a related expression where the rubber meets the road. it doesn't have exactly the same meaning, but there is a parallel thought. Where the rubber meets the road means when action takes place. Enough of this theoretical talk. This is where the rubber meets the road. When I read the book Willpower by Baumeister, I was impressed that he pointed out clearly that it takes great willpower to select long-term benefit over short-term benefit. Delayed gratification requires willpower. In this application, there is no substitute. If you are choosing between a short-term gain and a long-term gain, your only tool is willpower. Now, that can be bolstered by evidence. You can have a parent or a teacher encourage you to select the long-term benefit. But when you make the decision, you are making it with pure willpower. Now, once the decision has been made, the pursuit of a long-term goal should be heavily delegated to habits. We don't want long-term goals to be supported only by ongoing willpower, because we've learned that it isn't all that trustworthy. It fatigues. It can get used up. So as I was putting this video together, I thought about the habits that I put into place in the past, which I have maintained because they are habits, and why. Some of these habits that I have in service of long-term goals date back decades. They are long-term habits that I've carried with me through most of my adulthood. Other habits are newcomers, things I've learned and put into place because it made sense. Let's go through some of these. Again, this is not prescriptive. This is to stimulate thought. And if you find this sort of discussion interesting, then you can use this as comprehensible input and acquire the English language. Remember, that's our primary goal here, is language acquisition. But the best way to acquire the English language is to understand stories and discussions, listen to them perhaps more than once, and absorb the language. So number one, morning pages. This is a new habit that I started this year after I read the book entitled The Artist's Way. The author recommended morning pages as a way to start the creative process, to get ideas flowing, and to avoid the problem of writer's block. I read that book for practical reasons. I took on the goal of making one video each day over a period of at least 1 year. Well, if you look online, nobody does that. Nobody in their right mind does that. It's a very high bar, and one of the practical problems for creating that volume of episodes is creativity. How do you come up with ideas so that what you produce is not just dreck? Because if I produce boring, worthless videos, then nobody watches them. Nobody benefits. So The Artist's Way, the book, gave me the idea to do morning pages, and that has been wonderful. Each day I get up and write 3 pages. I don't plan on rereading them, and I will never show them to anyone. They frequently are just flight of ideas. They are just stream of consciousness. Frequently, when I start writing my morning pages, I have nothing to say. But after a few filler sentences where I state clearly that I have nothing to say, shortly the pen magically starts putting thoughts on the page that are real and they came from somewhere. It's a great process, and I will continue that habit. Number two, 1 hour of input each day. Now, when I say input in this setting, I'm talking about language input for comprehensible input. I am acquiring the Spanish language. I now have over 2,100 hours of input that I have absorbed so that I can become fluent in Spanish. The progress I've made has been very encouraging, and I attribute a lot of the success that I feel in this endeavor is directly related to the habit of getting daily input. Now, this 1 hour is just the input I get before starting my day. This is the hour of input I get over coffee and breakfast before I get started on the rest of the day. This is a new habit for me that dates back to 2023 when I started learning Spanish with comprehensible input. Number three, an apple a day. During the pandemic, I did a lot of reading, and I read a lot about lifestyle issues as pertains to health or chronic illness. In my reading, there was a passage that an apple a day really does provide long-term health benefits. Having read the material on that subject and some additional information I found online, I made a decision to eat an apple a day. So in a 7-day period, I usually eat 7 apples. The apple fits nicely into the mid-morning snack. It's not overly caloric. It's not too rich. And it's not junk food. It fits well into a whole food, plant-based eating plan. Apples are not junk. They won't hurt you. Number four, I habitually avoid ultra-processed food. This grows out of my reading during the pandemic, so it's a relatively new habit, although I was leaning toward clean eating of plant-based food long before the pandemic, a decade before the pandemic. The trouble with a habit of avoiding ultra-processed food is it's too broad, it's too vague, it's not very specific. So I need some subservient habits that support that overall goal. My goal is to avoid eating processed food. The actual habit is to have healthy snacks and foods available to eat. Don't buy junk food. I buy fruits, vegetables, nuts, and I have them available for snack purposes. Number five, always use travel time for input. This dates back to the pandemic. I found that when I drove, I didn't find that listening to the radio, news features, and music was very satisfying anymore. So I started reading audiobooks in the car while driving. This leveraging of my travel time was very satisfying. I read a lot of books by the expediency of having my smartphone and the car stereo read the book to me during my commute or my travel to stores, for instance. Now, anytime I'm in the car, I'm listening to input. The input I'm listening to comes in two flavors. It may be language learning comprehensible input, or it may be an audiobook like The Artist's Way that I read by way of audiobook. I don't use travel time for entertainment, although one could say that reading an audiobook or listening to a podcast in Spanish is entertaining. My point is I'm not seeking out entertainment quality input. I'm being pickier. Number six, get enough sleep. That's a broad goal to support health. And if someone is sleep deprived, we know their willpower will be degraded and their health will suffer. Now, I don't prescribe how many hours per night you need. I wouldn't know. But I do know that in general, people need 7 to 8 hours of sleep on average, some more, some less. During the past week, I had a few nights where I just didn't sleep very well. I couldn't really identify a specific cause. It just was something I observed. But I also observed that the days following those evenings of not sleeping well were not very productive. I didn't feel like I had much energy. More recently, I have been more successful in getting a full 8 hours of sleep per night, and that has been associated with a much higher energy level and more productivity. I get more things done on days that follow a good night's sleep. Now, there are habits that are in support of the goal of getting a good night's sleep. Each evening, I turn the lights down. We have the ability to adjust the intensity of the light in the room we inhabit. And toward the end of the day, I turn the lights down because that stimulates the central nervous system to prepare for rest. I do the same thing with the screen brightness on my computer. It has been shown in studies that very bright computer screens are very stimulating and may contribute to problems with sleep. I don't watch content that is very stimulating in the evening. If someone gets involved in an action movie in the evening and it's very stimulating, it is foreseeable that they may have trouble sleeping that night. Instead, my habit in support of my need to get enough sleep is to read in the evening. I find that is a great way to simmer down and prepare for a good night's sleep. Number seven, saving money. I really hate to waste money. I try not to be a miser, but I also don't want to be a spendthrift. I want some balance here. In the 21st century, it is common when people want something, they just buy it on credit. They just put it on their credit card and pay it off over time. That is a strategy that a lot of people use to acquire big ticket items like cars, houses, or expensive luxury items. Sometimes people charge their vacation expenses. Of course, the trouble with using credit to finance expensive things is that A, it can get out of hand, and B, it increases the overall expense of that item. I learned this early in life. I learned that I could identify something I wanted, whether it was a new car, a vacation, or some item for my entertainment. And then once I identified it, I could set about the task of saving for it. Just save a little bit each month, put the money aside, and then eventually there would be enough funding to get the reward. The habit I have is to save a little bit of money to the best of my ability every month. Number eight, schedule chores. This is a relatively new habit that I've put into my daily plans. It comes from having read the book Getting Things Done. We have a lot of chores that need to be done that we would consider onerous, unpleasant, not fulfilling, but absolutely necessary. So when I identify an onerous task, instead of putting it off and procrastinating, I schedule it. I use an app called Things 3. It's the third version of Things. It's an app on my smartphone. And so for a task that I would consider unpleasant, I just put it on my list and schedule it. I really try to not move a task further back and use the app to mechanically procrastinate on a task. If I say by the end of next week, I'm going to clean out the gutters on the house, I tend to get it done. I don't like to postpone things. And I use this app to reinforce that. If I find myself postponing things using the app, it is as if the app is monitoring my behavior. It's as if the app has an opinion about what I'm doing. It causes just enough irritation or embarrassment on my part that I don't tend to do that. That's been very helpful. So those are the 8 habits and goals that I have put together, and I actually use them in the day-to-day. This is a real list. Many times in life, our success or failure is related to long-term compounding. Simply put, if someone has a cigarette one time, they don't immediately get lung cancer or emphysema. However, if they have one cigarette followed by many, many more, thus smoking, say, 2 packs of cigarettes a day for decades, it is foreseeable that they will get lung cancer and emphysema. The same thing goes for positive habits that we put into place. If we eat healthy food every day, it is foreseeable that we will have fewer problems with chronic disease later in life. This is a classic example of choosing a long-term reward over a short-term reward. And as we know, we have one tool to do that: willpower. It should be mentioned that underlying these habits, which I developed with willpower, is influence of people and books upon my thought process. Most of the habits that I have discussed here today came from books. Many of these habits came from books I read because of the pandemic. Certainly, the pandemic was one of the worst things that we had happened to our society, but at the same time, a lot of people received a lot of benefit from the time that they had during that pandemic. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.